If you have your scriptures with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Jonah. We're in Jonah chapter 4 this morning. We're wrapping up the book this morning, verses 5 through 11. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 775. If you've missed some of the messages and you're interested in catching up, we have a website. You can find it there, the sermons. I believe the website's on the back of the bulletin where you can find us. Yep, pickcarenpca.org. You can look up the sermons. It's been a great series. Humbling for me in many, many, many ways, because when we read about Jonah, I'm reading about myself, and it's not a very pretty picture. But what is very, very pretty is the grace of God. It covers all. And so it's a great book. So this morning, we conclude the book. We'll be in verses 5 through 11. John McCombs will be with you next week sharing the Word of God, reading from Luke. That actually talks about Jonah. We didn't plan it, but Jesus talks about one greater than Jonah is here. And so just kind of neat in God's providence, that's the passage that John picked out, and their evening service, they're just starting Jonah. So just kind of neat, so how it all comes together. And so after I come back, we'll be in the book of Jude. So if you want to remember, just think of the song, Hey Jude. We'll be in Jude for two Sundays, and then the book of Ephesians. So let me pray, and then we'll begin this morning our message. Father, we thank you for this time to worship together as friends and family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so, Lord, we come to hear from you and your word, that you would teach us. That you would teach us how we are to think of you, how we are to live our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would just do your work. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week we started wrapping up the book of Jonah with somewhat of a surprise. I said last week you would think that after an entire city repents of its wickedness and violence through the preaching of Jonah, that the book would conclude with Jonah and Nineveh holding hands and praising God and shouting to the Lord. But we saw last week that's not how this story ends at all. We discovered last week that Jonah, after the city repented and God relented of his destruction of the city, Jonah was angry. He was irate. He was so mad that God relented from the destruction of the city. He was so angry that he wished he was dead. I don't know if I've ever been that angry. I want to die. That's how mad I am. And needless to say, Jonah is a very expressive, emotional person, I think. He said that he knew God was gracious, he knew that God would be merciful, and he feared that God would not give them what they deserved, and that's why he fled in the first place when he was called to go to Nineveh. God was so angry that he was gracious and merciful. And last week we ended with God asking Jonah the question, do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? And God is basically implying to Jonah, do you not grasp the mercy and the grace that I have shown you and to your people? Do you not grasp how good I have been to Israel over these many years? Do you not get it? Do you do well to be angry, Jonah? In one sense, we don't get an answer from Jonah. We don't get a response verbally at this point. Rather, Jonah in his heart seems closed to God's admonition and rebuke. Jonah really isn't interested in examining his heart and his motives at this time. But in another sense, we do get an answer from Jonah. We don't get it verbally, but it seems like he's convinced that his understanding of God's justice and grace and mercy are correct. And he continues to live life out of this false understanding of who he believes his God is and how his God ought to act. And as a result of this thinking, we see obnoxious and deplorable actions and thoughts come out of Jonah. The result of living life out of a false understanding of God's grace and mercy, we see in Jonah is an angry and non-compassionate individual. You see, when you think that you're not that bad of an individual when it comes to God's standard of loving him and loving our neighbors as ourselves, when you think you're pretty good at that, when you think you actually deserve God's favor and kindness, when you think that you've arrived at understanding God's mercy and riches towards you, you'll develop a heart that's puffed up, cynical, and full of pride. All the while you'll have demeaning and hate-filled thoughts towards others that you find in their sin and are not like you. Jonah at this point believes he's correct, and yet he's absolutely wrong. And that's a scary place to be. So he goes outside the city. We pick up the story where he goes out the city. He's still hoping that God might bring destruction to it. And this is where we pick up this morning. And it's my prayer that as we go through this text, that you'll grow more and more in your understanding of God's compassion towards you, that you would grow in your compassion towards others around you. Last week we talked about growing in our understanding of God's grace and God's mercy. Today it's his compassion. So what is compassion? What is compassion? Our text, you'll see it later on when we read it, it's in verses 10 and 11. You'll see the word pity. Our translation uses the word pity. But it's the idea of compassion. And James Bruckner, he writes, it's a word that means to grieve over someone or something. To have compassion is to grieve over someone or something, to have your heart broken for it, to weep for it. I would say it like this: compassion means that you actually care. Compassion means that you are moved in your soul at the distress and the lostness of others. We see it used of Jesus in Matthew 9. It says when Jesus saw the crowds, they were like sheep without a shepherd, that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. So this morning I want us to grow more and more in our understanding of this idea of compassion that God has towards us and how we should have it towards one another. So we'll begin at verse 5 if you have your text, John 4, verse 5, and we'll finish the chapter today. Jonah went out of the city. He sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God had appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? He said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle?" And that's where he stops. So the first thing I want to recognize in this passage is that you will have compassion on that which you value. You will have compassion, you'll be moved, you'll grieve over that which you value. In verses 5 and 6 of our text, we see what Jonah values and values most. It's his comfort. It's its comfort more than the souls of Nineveh. And that's a shocking, scary truth. And yet, one we could be all guilty of. It said that Jonah went out of the city, made a booth so that he would have some shade, and God made him this plant to grow so it would give him some shade. It says that he was exceedingly glad because of the plant. If you remember back in verse 1 of this chapter, of chapter 4, it says, Jonah was displeased exceedingly. Jonah was displeased exceedingly in verse 1 of this chapter. He was desperately miserable. He was so angry. Why? Because the people repented and God was merciful. He didn't care about the souls of the people in Nineveh. And here in our text, at the end of verse 6, it says, Jonah was exceedingly glad. He was so happy. He's a really happy guy at this moment. Why? because God gives them this shade plant, this what people think is a castor oil plant that has these broad leaves and makes this plant grow and gives them shade. He's so happy because he has shade and some relief from the hot sun. And we see here what Jonah values and values most, and it's his comfort. We saw it earlier back in chapter 1 when God sends the torrential storm on the ship and it's being ripped apart and it's going to sink, and the pagans are throwing the boxes off the boat so it don't sink. So they try to save everyone. Where's Jonah? Sleepy. He's comfortable. He's sleepy. Is there anything wrong with shade? No. If you know anything about me, I sweat profusely, and that's why I take my jacket off sometimes. I get hot really, really quick. It's disgusting for my wife, I'm sure. Is there anything wrong with comfort? No. But we ought not to value those things more than the souls of others. Don't allow good gifts from God to become idols. Don't allow them to rule your heart and your affections. Don't allow them to affect your heart and attitude towards others, thinking that you earned and merited all these good gifts in your life. The only reason you have blessings from God is because God has been compassionate towards you. Again, look at the extreme of Jonah. He was exceedingly angry that Nineveh repented and God had compassion on them, but he's so happy he's got shade. And Jonah got off track on what he ought to value most highly. You'll have compassion on that which you value. Paul Tripp, on his study guide on Jonah, he asks these questions. They're good questions for us to examine where we're at. He says, what is it that makes a good day for you good? Think about that. What is it that makes a good day so good for you? And what is it that makes a bad day for you? Take time to think about it this past week. Are they serious things? Are they kingdom-focused things? Are they just petty things? Experiencing God's compassion is a tremendous thing, and we should desire it that others would know it. It should be a high priority for us. In our prayer lives, we should be asking God that we would be able to show compassion to others. That we would be praying that those around us would experience God's compassion on them. They would be asking God for opportunities to share and to share the gospel of Christ, that they would know the mercies of theirs that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you pray and you think about your prayer life, what do you pray about? Are you just asking for things for comfort, or that people would experience the compassion and mercy and grace of God? It should be both. Jonah, we see here, he goes out of the city to escape the sinners. Jonah goes out of the city to find comfort. How different than our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he goes out of the city of Jerusalem, he doesn't go out of the city of Jerusalem to find comfort, not to escape sinners, but to be crucified on a wooden beam. The Lord Jesus goes out of the city to be hoisted naked and exposed to the world, to suffer and die, to rescue and redeem his people. He had compassion on them. Jesus said earlier in the gospel that he had no place to lay his head. One day he did, and it was on the back of a wooden beam as he hung on the cross. For Jesus, he valued the glory of God and the redemption of his people, that he would lay down his life for them. He had compassion on them. He has compassion for you. And it's great, and it's immense, and it's beautiful when you see it in its full. So God is asking us, what do you value? What do you have compassion on? What grieves you? So perhaps this morning you could take time and consider those values. Next, we see that God will use great and small things in this world to help us understand compassion. God will use great and small things in this world to help us understand compassion. Let's look at verse 7 again and read. It says, but when the dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for that plant? Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. Again, I'm astonished at Jonah's expressiveness and emotions. It seems like when things don't go his way, the first thing that Jonah wants to do is die. Stub my toe, I want to die. He's hot, he wants to die. Just kill me. He's being very, very petty. He's probably someone I wouldn't want to hang around too much. But if people really knew who I was on the inside, you probably wouldn't want to hang around me. And if people really knew how you were on the inside, people wouldn't want to hang around you. But God knows us completely in all of our sin and all of our pettiness, and he wants to be near us. He wants to be near us. He wants to pursue us, and he does it through his grace and his compassion. Paul Tripp writes, God in his patient love is still harnessing the forces of nature for the sole purpose of getting to the heart of Jonah. Hear that again. God in his patient love is harnessing the forces of nature for the sole purpose of getting to the heart of Jonah. That's how much he loves Jonah. God will use great and small things in this world to help us understand compassion. In this book of Jonah, God used a great storm, a great fish, a small plant, a smaller worm, an east wind, in order to pursue Jonah, to teach him what compassion and grace and mercy is all about. It's amazing that God is mindful of us like this, that he cares so much. So when you encounter huge life-altering events in your life, there can be many reasons why you experience them, but perhaps God is trying to get your attention, wanting you to reassess your heart and your values in relation to him and his ways. And when you experience small things that take away your comforts or aggravate you, your car breaks down or your air conditioner quits working or your bike breaks, perhaps God is wanting to get your attention to make you realize how much you need his grace and compassion daily and to be a more thankful person. God will use great and small things in this world to help you understand compassion. And lastly, your God is moved by the sadness of your state. You should be moved towards others as well. Look at verse 10 and 11. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. You did not make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Again, pity here is the idea of compassion. Jonah had compassion on a plant. He was broken. He was saddened. The plant is gone. God is saying, Jonah, you care too strongly about the wrong things. Look how you're reacting to this plant. You care about this plant more than people, more than eternal souls. Today in our culture, I watched a video one time that went around and asked people, if your dog and your neighbor are drowning in a pool, who would you save? Scary to hear. Most people said their dog. We've gotten off track. Our values are shifted all in the wrong places. We live in a world we're messed up. It's compassion made for the wrong things, where people are made in the image of God. People are of the highest worth and value, and our hearts should be moved towards the saddest state of one another. We live in a world that's full of the consequences of sin in our hearts, the rebellion of mankind, all kinds of misery, all kinds of trials, all kinds of consequences of sinful choices, death and condemnation. It should grieve us. It should move us. It moved God. God says to Jonah and to us, you weep over plants, you weep over animals, but my compassion is for people. People lost in a sad estate. People lost and spiritual blindness. And why would God have compassion on us? Why would he do this? Timothy Keller writes, the only answer to that question is that an infinite, omnipotent, self-sufficient, divine being loves only voluntarily because he wants to. The whole universe is no bigger to God than a piece of lint is to us. And we are smaller pieces of lint on the lint. Yet God attaches and voluntarily loves us. He says he cares what happens to Nineveh. It cares. He cares what happens to you. Keller continues, he says, real compassion is to voluntarily attach your heart to others. That means seeing the sadness of their condition and it affects you to bring compassion. Your God is moved at the sadness of our state. We should be moved as well. B.B. Warfield, he does a study on the emotions of Christ, and he says the most typical emotion that Christ has in the gospel is compassion. Compassion. When he saw the crowds and that they were helpless, he was moved with compassion. You know the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son returns, how does the father react? He sees the son coming that messed up his life, wasted all the money. He's down and out. He sees him coming back and says the father is moved with compassion. And he runs to him and embraces him and kisses him. We are called to be holy. And the way to be holy and different in this world is to be compassionate, to be kind, to be patient. God ends this chapter asking a question. He says to Jonah, you pity the plant. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? Were they spiritually blind? How does Jonah respond? We don't know. The chapter ends with a question. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? How do you respond? That's the point. How do you respond? If we're honest, looking at Jonah is a lot like looking into a mirror and we see our hearts. We have millions of idols and millions of thrones that we need to come down from. Should people experience God's compassion? Have you experienced his grace and mercy and compassion like Jonah did? How are you at extending that grace and mercy and compassion to others who are not like you in the same desperate need of it? If you've been walking with Christ for a while, how are your values? What do you value most right now? What gives you the highest joy right now? You'll have compassion on that which you value. How will you respond? There's a compassion hymn written by the Gettys. And the words go like this. They say, there's an everlasting kindness, God, you lavished on us. When the radiance of heaven came to rescue the lost, you called the sheep without a shepherd to leave their distress for your streams of forgiveness and your shade of rest. And with compassion for the hurting, you reached out your hand to the lame man to meet you, and the dead breathed again. You saw behind the eyes of sorrow, and you shared in our tears, heard the sigh of the weary. Let the children draw near. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. Each day we live in offering of praise as we show the world your compassion. Do you understand God's compassion towards you in the Lord Jesus Christ? We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We were condemned. God voluntarily grieves over the lostness of his people and said, I will rescue, I will redeem, I will send my son outside the city, be nailed to a cross to rescue, to redeem you, to give you a hope that no one can take away. As you place your faith in Christ, this Yahweh, this living God, you can have an eternal hope, living imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for you. This is what you can possess, eternal life now, Jesus preached about in the book of John. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Without Christ, we're still condemned, but in Christ, we're brought in like the prodigals. Brought in, given the robe, given the ring, come in, experience my joy. He has compassion on you. If you can experience that, if you can experience that a little bit deeper, share that compassion with those around you. Share that compassion to the world. Yeah, they might not deserve it, but neither did we. Yeah, they didn't earn it, neither did we. See them as souls, eternal souls, who need Christ. So how will you respond to the question? Should God have pity? Should God have mercy on wicked sinners? And I pray that you cry, yes, because I am one of them. Help me to have mercy on those around me. Let me pray. Father, only you know how we respond in our hearts. I really pray that we would see the depths of our depravity. We are so quick to look at everyone else. We're a little bit better. We deceive ourselves. Lord, help us to examine our values. What do we value most? I pray it's Christ. I pray that we be transformed by your love and mercy. Redeem us. Renew us. Regenerate those here who do not know you yet, Lord. May they see the glory of Christ and your compassion and your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us to be people of grace and mercy and compassion. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.